Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I'm gonna just take that for what it's worth. Once you start playing the music on the Blog Talk side, it goes ahead and ends, and whatever happens after that is what happens. Because if your microphone is not hooked up, then it's just not gonna do what it's supposed to do. But we are here on this Power Monday, and tonight on this Power Monday, this June 27th, we are talking about what it must feel like to take a life. What it must feel like to take a life. Now, listen, you know, I don't know if any of you have ever killed anybody before. I don't know if you've ever been very close to somebody who has taken a life before or who has killed somebody or whatever, but it's a serious thing. It's one of those things where it's definitely not going to make you feel good about however or whatever you've done. If you have any semblance of a conscience, then if you have been forced to take a life, or put in the position where it was your life or their life, then I think that definitely legally you should be excused from that. But that might not take away from the spiritual excuses that you might have to make, or the culpability or responsibility that you may feel that you have to pay spiritually, mentally, emotionally. You know, and most religions, and I don't want to really get religious because I'm not very religious, but in most religions, they really speak against killing your fellow man. You know, animals and stuff are fair game, you know, as long as it's in a necessary manner. in which case we may be talking about halal meat, kosher meat, or, you know, those different methods or styles of killing animals and preparing them for to be used for food. But when we start talking about our fellow man, there is most religions, most spiritual teachings speak about having to pay a moral price for killing your fellow man. Like your fellow man, your man, woman, and man, women, and children are supposed to be off limits to be killed by anyone else. Because killing someone on purpose, like in the case of murder, is like placing a judgment on someone. And we are not supposed to be in the spiritual position to be able to place that type of judgment or call that type of judgment upon others. But it happens. People get killed every day by other people, sometimes by mistake, many times on purpose. And when you really think about it, I know people who have killed people. I believe that I've known people who have killed multiple people. And these are people that are still on the streets. I've known people who have done 10, 20 or more years in jail, came home and never committed that type of crime again. But I always wonder, like, especially when you take a life at a young age, how does that make you feel? Now, most adults in 2022 will tell you that it doesn't seem like today's youth have any respect for life. It doesn't seem like they care about how they're going to feel if they take a life. It doesn't even seem like they even care if they take a life. You know, they figure, like, the nigga was here and now he's gone, and I even made me a song talking about it. And I doubt that his crew was going to come against me because I'm going to come against you. And we went first. Y'all tried to burst y'all guns at me, but it didn't work. And see, now all of y'all are laid dead. And that's just like the words that I said, and I will do it again. If I have to, y'all, don't come around me, and I'll be around you. Before y'all can get the drop on me, I got the drop on y'all, and now all y'all fall just like the dominoes, the clothes that y'all wear was all bloody and red. And now I just said that I'm a blood, no, I'm a crip, I do what I gotta do to that, okay. Anyway, it seems like they don't have any respect for life. But we're talking, when you start talking about the gang culture and things like that, you're not talking about a culture. You're not talking about a way of life. You're not talking about you're not talking about people who are conditioned to care about anybody who is not aligned with them through team, through gang, through crew, through neighborhood, through a whole lot of things. So there's a different type of morality. Like, maybe if you are in a gang, maybe instead of feeling bad for killing somebody, maybe you would feel worse for allowing someone that you are close to be killed without you retaliating. And I think we may all know a little something about that. Whether it's in depth, whether it's personal, or whether and something we read about or saw in the news. So it's a tough situation. But I don't know. For me, I always wonder what motivates a person to do anything in life. I always wonder about that. So when a person gets to the point where they have to take a life, you know, and there's so many ways to take a life besides murdering somebody. But the people who murder normally feel okay about murdering them in the moment. Later on, you know, many people who have murdered people have expressed remorse. You know, I mean, because, I mean, that's really why many of them have gone to jail and had to serve time for that killing, for that murder, because the guilt that they felt was overwhelming and they just couldn't deal with it anymore, to the point where they told the authorities what they had done. They outlined it in detail, and they took the charge that was that was brought against them in court, and they did their time. Some came home, others remained locked up or incarcerated maybe until the rest of their lives, until their lives end, or until, well, in the case of life, I'm talking about a life sentence, or in the case of a death sentence. My incarcerated brothers always told me that it's always better to do numbers than it is to do letters. You always have a chance when it's numbers. You may get out on parole or whatever. But what we're talking about is how it must feel to take a life, how it must feel to feel the responsibility and to be responsible for someone who was previously living, breathing, walking, talking, and being is no longer living, walking, talking, breathing, being because of you, whether you killed them on purpose or whether you killed them by mistake. To take a life is a heavy, heavy thing that weighs on people who have a conscience. Now, if somebody doesn't have a conscience, then we're talking about like serial killers. We're talking about people who do mass murders. We're talking about people who honestly don't have any verifiable respect for life. And it's tough. It's tough when you're dealing with a person that doesn't have a conscience, because at any time, their lack of having a conscience can be targeted towards you. And next thing you know, your family is forced to live their lives in your absence because somebody had no remorse or no bad feelings about taking you up out of here. In the movies, we glorify that type of violence. In the movies, people shoot people in broad daylight. Nobody sees anything. Nobody tells on people, you know, that kind of thing. In real life, somebody always sees something and they always tell, and people have to try to wiggle their way out of the consequences for that by going to court. So taking a physical life is pretty cut and dry. There isn't that much to it. Whether you kill a person by mistake, by accident, or on purpose, the finality of that death is undeniable. You know, one thing you cannot do with a dead body is keep it around to preserve. You have to do a lot to it in order to preserve just that shell in the form of taxidermy. And, you know, and I'm sure that most of us have seen all kinds of peculiar things on the internet. I'm going to just call them peculiar. Peculiar things on the internet, you know, where people have had their loved one pose like they were smoking a cigarette or chilling against a wall or on a motorcycle and all this crazy stuff, man. Which borders on it teeters the line for me of idol worship. Yeah, on the internet we've seen some interesting things. I know I have in the past couple of years. And you know, the past couple of years have seen a lot of death. Or should I say, have displayed a lot of death for us to see. So, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about different ways to take a life by accident or on purpose, or on purpose making it seem like it was an accident. I think that taking a life can be on purpose and by accident at the same time. I believe that you can take a life by accident and on purpose at the same time. Like, let's say you meant to perpetrate violence against somebody because they really, really made you angry for whatever reason. but you didn't mean to kill them. Now, you did everything to make sure that they died, but you didn't want them to die. You wanted them to suffer, but you didn't want them to die. Like in the case, let's say you beat somebody up and you beat them up and you didn't stop beating them even after they no longer defended themselves. You just kept beating them. Well, maybe in the movies, that person survives. In real life, they die. You know, that kind of stuff. You know what I watched? I don't know if any of y'all have Showtime, but I watched the show called The Chi. The new season is season 6 of The Chi. Or is it season 5? Season 5 of The Chi. And I like this series. It's a good series, you know. It's based in Chicago. That's why it's called The Chi. And, you know, based on a family, you know, going through their drama with neighborhood things, with each other, friendship, love, all, you know, family and social drama. Anyway, on this show, one episode last season, one of the girls' father was beaten, what looked like he was beaten to death by this politician. This guy was the fictional mayor of Chicago, and he beat somebody to death. And we thought it was to death, but it turns out he's back this season, all nicked up and scarred above, you know, on his head. His face ain't nothing wrong with it, but his head got some, you know, has some visible either stitch marks or whatever. But I'm like, he survived that? You don't survive that type of violent act. You don't survive that. But on TV, you do. So in real, unfortunately, many people struggle to see the difference or to understand the difference between what they see on TV, in the movies, on a video, and what happens in real life. And that sounds ridiculous to most of us, right? But it's a real thing, especially now that everyone is running around here with cameras right there in the palm of their hand, filming everything, editing video and all of that kind of stuff. Bringing fantasy to life. That's what we're doing. That's what you do through editing, and that's what you do through video editing. You bring fantasy and fiction to life. All right, so the girl's father is back on the show. He ain't paralyzed. He ain't crippled or none of that. That man got beat to death that last season. Ain't no way he should have survived that. But okay. I've seen that more than one time on different shows. But, you know, I was just trying to outline how you can purposely kill somebody by accident. You really meant to hurt them, maybe even cripple them. Definitely teach them a lesson, but you didn't want them to die. So you're definitely responsible in your actions and in your negligence, because you can be directly responsible. You can be the assailant and also be negligent at the same time. Negligent in ignoring that somebody could be seriously hurt, but also culpable or responsible in that you were the aggressor in the first place. And a lot of people who kill people, or a lot of people who kill others, are responsible for that. You know, they were steadfast and they were definitely purposeful in when they killed somebody. There are other ways that you can kill somebody by mistake. Of course, I mean, listen, you could be in a car accident. I'll never forget when I was 13 years old, a good friend of mine whose house I used to go over all the time, you know, he was sort of like, I don't want to say he was a rich kid, but his dad had money. They lived over there in Chestnut Hill. And I can only say, I would have called it West Mount Airy, but he lived on this side of Chestnut Hill. West Mount Airy is on this side. He lives on this side. He was just clearing it on Allen's Lane. Allen's Lane is the cutoff. Well, really, Mount Airy Avenue is supposed to be the cutoff. Allen's Lane, you are definitely Chestnut Hill. And so they had a pool and ground and all of that. And yeah, we used to go over to, I used to go over to crib all the time. Spent the night over his house a couple of times. This was my man. And, you know, his mom was very, very nice. His parents were together. But, you know, like, it was one of those unorthodox marriages. Well, you know, real recognized, real. My parents had just been divorced. So I saw vividly what was going on in their home, hoping that I wasn't seeing what I was seeing, but I was seeing what I was seeing. Anyway, they were from, the parents were from Florida, I believe. And they used to go back down Florida, you know, go back down south to kick it with their peoples, you know, I mean, during the summertime or whatever. Anyway, so they were on their way down to Florida, and the brother was driving the van. They had a custom van. Remember custom vans, you know what I'm saying? This is 1984. Custom van, all done up, everything in the van, you know, and the brother fell asleep at the wheel. He fell asleep at the wheel, and the mother was killed. She was the only one killed in the accident. A van full of people. So the brother survived. My boy, he survived. And whoever else was in the car or the van survived. But the mother died. And when I saw him at the end of the summer, you know, at the end of the summer when we were going back to school or whatever, just before we went back to school, I was like, yo, man, you know, where your mom at? I'm over at the crib. I was going to say hi to his mom because, like, that was cool with his mom. And he said, she's no longer here. She's deceased. And he was just like, he was close with his mom. But he's trying to play it off like, yeah, I don't, like a 14-year-old would do, or a 13-year-old would do. I don't know. But I was like, what are you talking about? Stop playing with me, man. Don't play like that. He was like, I'm not playing. Oh, we was on our way down south, a few weeks ago, whatever, you know, during the summertime. And my brother fell asleep at the wheel, and the van flipped over. And my mom, you know, she was thrown from the vehicle, and she didn't make it. She died. Like, yo. And I'm thinking, like, even though his brother didn't mean to kill his mom, that was his mom too. I'm sure that the horror of accident or his mistake, I'm sure that haunted him for years and years and years. Because after that, then, yeah, things happened. Things happen with their household. I'm not going to go into, you know, the other things that I saw after that, but just use your brain, you know, like a man who was married, now he's single, he already had kids outside of the man. You start doing the math. Anyway. Yeah, it was something else. But I always wondered, like, I always thought about his brother, like, yo, how must he feel being responsible for his mom's death? I imagine he probably had some survivor's guilt going on. He probably wished that he had died too. Maybe he feels like that was only right or whatever. I never saw his brother again. Sounds like a situation where some therapy might be necessary. Hey, y'all, wait a minute. Let me make sure that this chat is working. All right, wait a minute. Sometimes I can never be sure with this. Let me make sure that we are right. Are we good? Y'all right there in the chat? Because there have been times when I can see my chat. Yeah, I see it, Carol. All right, we good. All right. I thought things were a little silent over there. You know, it had me a little worried. This is going on. Emily, Stacey White, Carol Chamberlain, Robin Ming. Okay, well, all right, we good. Okay, as long as we good. But yeah, so, you know, taking a life like that, I know it has to weigh on you. You know, I mean, the sorrow, the remorse that you probably have to feel, you know, being responsible for taking your mom's life. You didn't mean to do it. And of course, you could also rationalize that, well, God took her up out of here because everybody else survived, so it might have just been her time. And maybe God used me to fall asleep. I don't know. On earth, that's probably not going to play out too well with most people, but it happens. That's a tough situation. And then you have people out here who kill their parents. You have parents out here who kill their kids. You know, all kinds of family members have done each other in. It's wild. But what does it feel like to take a life? That's why, you know, this whole Roe versus Wade thing, for me, it's a touchy subject. Touchy, very touchy. And also Tory 2200, what's going on? Very touchy as far as I'm concerned, because at the end of the day, it almost doesn't feel right to fight for this thing. Sure, you're fighting for a woman's right to choose, but that's an easy way of putting it. You know, when you think about what it really means, especially when you start talking about late term abortions, you know what I'm saying? You start thinking like, yo, man, that baby, you know, the baby was 20 weeks when you aborted it. It's like, yeah, it's your right to choose. But, man. Carol Chamberlain said, I honestly hope I never experience that, taking a life. I don't think most people think that they are going to be put in that situation. Or do they? Because sometimes it seems like some people are headed right towards that. Have you ever known anybody that you knew was going to kill somebody or be caught up in some type of thing like that in their lives at some point? I have. There are people that I know that I'm surprised can tell me that they've never killed anybody. I'm like, how? Hey, little Candy Cake, she says Roe versus Wade is about privacy, not abortion. No, it's about abortion. I understand the propaganda surrounding it. But when you start to, in order to pregnancy, one thing has to happen. And this is whether you're pro-life or pro-choice. You know, we can use all types of colorful language to explain it, But one thing has to happen in order for you to be pregnant and not be pregnant anymore. Either you have to have the baby or... Now, of course, there are mitigating circumstances all around that. Because I'm not going to lie to you. Ain't no way that if my daughter got raped or sexually assaulted or any of that shit, would I advocate for her to have that baby. No way. I don't care. I don't care what state I live in. That baby ain't going to make it. Not by my blessing, it ain't. No fucking way. But that doesn't take away from what has to be done to make sure that that doesn't happen. No, it's not about privacy. No. Listen, I mean, we can agree differently, because I don't think we are agreeing to disagree. I don't even like when people say that. But we agree differently. We both know what has to happen. The state of Texas and these white men, they look at things differently. But I'm not getting to all of that. I'm not here to talk about abortion. But one of the reasons that so many women experience a postpartum, even after abortion, I mean, a lot of women go through a big depression after an abortion, because it's a life decision that you have made. And that's when the reality of what has had to happen kicks in. I've known women who've gone through it, and it was tough for them. I've had women express to me like, oh, I don't know how God is going to look at me, you know, when I get there. I've heard some interesting things. I knew a girl who had about 4 abortions. She had no kids. This is when I was in my 20s. And she was like, she joked about it. But the way she was joking, I could tell that there was something there. She said, I know they're smiling at me from heaven. And I was like, wow. Yeah, she said she had like four abortions. It is what it is. People who are in the military, their job is to take lives. You can say whatever you want to. Their training is to kill, to eliminate the enemy. And there's only one way to eliminate the enemy. They ain't all going to be POWs. You got to get rid of them. That's the only way the war is going to stop. You're not losing the war until you lose people. And the only way you lose people is through them dying. So when you have to be the one that to fly the plane over an area to drop missiles, when you have to be the one to get inside the tank and blow shit up, when you get behind that American-made M16, when you in a foxhole and you see the enemy approaching and you mow them all down, eliminating the enemy. Yes, you are doing what you're not only paid to do, but what you have been trained to do, encouraged to do, and what you have to do unless you expect it to be done to you. I don't know how God looks at that. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe it's best to not believe in God when you're in the military, but a lot of military personnel believe in God. And have convinced themselves that they are on the right side of God, and that's why God is sanctioning them to win the war instead of the other side. That's all propaganda, though. It's all propaganda. What do you think the enemy is learning about you? What do you think they're teaching their army about you? The evil American empire. Always sticking their nose in somebody's business. Always taking over somebody's territory. Always coming in here looting and grabbing money and raping and pillaging. Yeah, American soldiers do that shit. Well, all soldiers do it. I don't mean all soldiers individually. I mean every every military has soldiers who rape and pillage. And in that order, rape, pillage, kill, murder. Yeah. So war is legal murder, even though there are rules in war, right? So there are war crimes and all this kind of stuff. But they say war is hell. They say war is hell. Are they saying war is hell because that's where you're definitely going for participating in it? Who knows? Who knows? But these are only things that you think about when you have a conscience. When you don't have a conscience, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. With the time that I have left, I want to talk about the other ways that there are to die when you haven't even, when no shot has been triggered, no one has been stabbed, no one has been physically hurt. But I've been taught that life is the passage of one life into another life. So your life can end when you're no able to live the life that you had before. So when you learn new things, when you're a different person, when you learn, grow, mature, and develop, you leave a life behind. See, I've been taught the existential part of what it means to die or to pass from one life into another. When a person, you know, taking it back to the military, let's say you get shot or hurt, seriously hurt in the military. And let's say you lose a limb or two. You lost one half of your body. Maybe even stroke victims understand this. You no longer have control over your bodily functions. So the life, you have died in the life of a fully functioning, healthy human being. That life for you is dead. There's no returning. There's nothing anybody can do about it. You will never live that way again, fully functional again. You are disabled. Your life as a fully able-bodied person, you have died from that. Now you have to live your life as a disabled person, as a handicapped person, as a person that needs some assistance in order to do certain things, or is going to have to totally be retrained and have to relearn how to get along, get by, get through things for themselves. When you get your heart broken, anybody within the sound of my voice that has ever gotten their heart broken knows that shit ain't nothing to laugh about. People can blow it off if it didn't happen to them or if it didn't happen to them as severely as it may have happened to you, but it's devastating for you. And many people, unfortunately, have committed suicide behind that. They just couldn't deal with the pain that they felt of that heartbreak, having all of the expectations that you had crushed, eliminated. All the hopes and all the dreams and all and everything just gone. And that's the only thing in your life you want back, and it's unable for you to get it back. It's unavailable. That life for you has died. You're dead in that life. Now you have to try to live your life without that part of you being there anymore. Some people have gotten their heart broken, and they have to go to therapy and all of that kind of stuff to try to get back that old thing that they used to have. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say that old thing. I mean, when people tell you, well, this is the way you used to be, you used to have that swag, you used to have that aura about you, you used to have that attitude, you had that thing, you had that energy, you were the energy. You was a whole vibe, as they say. Now that vibe is gone. People can see it in your face. Where you had that glow before, now it's all opaque. It looks like somebody put a veil, a see-through veil over you. It ain't the same. You ain't the same. And now you have to try to learn to live your life in that vein, in that energy, in that spirit. It ain't easy. That rebirth ain't easy. Have y'all ever known somebody that was so depressed that they couldn't get a job or work at a job for years? I have. I've known people who have been in that deep of a depression. Now, what I'm trying to get to, because this show is about what it must feel like to take a life. What about the person that's responsible for your depression? Of course, they're not going to own up to that. And they probably shouldn't. Because how can you say that I'm totally responsible for you losing your mind, for you going into a depression? So you mean to tell me that there were no other mitigating circumstances in your life or contributing circumstances in your life that added to that depression except me, the things that I put you through, the things that I made you do, the way that I made you feel? Tough. It's tough dealing with it's tough being responsible for a death of a person that's still living, breathing, heart beating. It's hard. Because it's hard to prove who the assailant is. There's a chance that they just have not acted alone. Robbie Ming says, I don't know what it feels like to take a life, and it would have to be a life or death situation for me. If my life was in danger, then yes, it's rather my life or the other person. I hear that. Carol Chambers says, there are a lot of messed up ex-soldiers. Check out a VA hospital. It's like, yeah. I mean, come on, man. When you see that much, when you see the destruction of human flesh all around you, man, if you think you're just going to shake that off, you got another thing coming. You were probably clean-cut and optimistic when you went into the military. After the war, you ain't going to be the same. No way you can be the same after that shit. And you made it out alive. A lot of your comrades didn't. They ain't come home. Why do you get to come home? Straight survivor's guilt. My man got his head blown off right next to me. His brain matter right in my hand. You ain't just going to shake that off. You're going to start asking, why me? What did I do to deserve to still be here? Things like that. But like I said, when you're responsible or being held responsible for taking somebody's life, their spiritual life, their emotional life, is it all your fault? It's hard to prove. Very hard to prove. Val says, but are you really alive? Oh, you are alive. I understand what you mean. Alive is what you are in the scientific sense. Are you living? Is your quality of life what it should be? Probably not. Taki says, when it comes down to my children and my loved ones, I'll do what I must. DK Wright also says, one of the reasons I decided to join legal, oh, not to join, legal murder, even friendly fire. Okay, you talking about the military? Taki says, sometimes it's called friendly fire isn't really friendly fire. So I've been, yeah. And plenty of soldiers have killed soldiers on their own team, their own platoon, their own regime, their own company. But matter of fact, the bull, what was that football player? What was the football player that went to put his football career on hold to go to Iraq?
and wound up getting killed. They say he was through, he got shot through friendly fire. What was his name? You know, they be honoring him like, you know, he did an honorable thing. He put his football career on hold in order to fight for his country. Like, man, I'm sorry. You must be out of your goddamn mind. We got other people that can do that, homie. You ain't got to do that. Your call of duty, you should have hung up on that. You ain't have to do that. What was his name? But yeah, there are many ways to take a life, just like there are many ways to die. You can die physically. You can die emotionally. You can die spiritually. But the person who did it to you is not always identifiable when it's mentally, spiritually, or emotionally. When it's physically, yeah, that person killed you. And that's only when we're talking about taking a life. We're not talking about somebody who just dies of natural causes like that. Carol says, I can't remember his name, but I remember his story. Remember the story. Yeah, it was deep. All right, let's get on up out of here. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. June 27th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Robert the Oil Baron Springfield, wow, turning 35 years old today. And also Richard Adams turning 52 years old today. And Rodrigo McIntyre turning 25 years old today. What up, cuz? No relation, though. 35 years old today, I'm sorry. And also Chania Milan turning 31 years old today. And Twin Gant, happy birthday to you. And Zelia Johnson, happy birthday to you. And Lorraine Jenneret, turning 53 years old today. Happy birthday to you. And Josette Murray, happy birthday to you. And Charnel Richmond, happy birthday to you. And Hianca Pimentel, turning 35 years old today. And Five Furioso, turning 37 years old today. And Tamia Williams, turning 47 years old today. And Richard Adams, happy birthday to you. And my cuz, Var Wilkinson, my man LaVon. LaVon Wilkinson, happy birthday to you. And Sylvester Fuller Sr., my man, turning 60 years old today. And last but not least, going all the way back to the 1981, my girl Kia Gaines Thompson, happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. June 27th, anywhere out there in the world. Worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. A rock out. Rock on and do the damn, the rock out. Rock on and do the damn, rock out. Rock on and do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen, check it out. You take a life, you're going to be held responsible. But besides any type of litigation that you might have to go through when it comes to the courts or any type of incarceration that may happen as a result of your conviction, the spiritual price that you may pay may override all of that. There's probably nothing worse in life than living in emotional pain for the rest of your life. Severe, unmitigating, relentless emotional pain. Day after day after day.
nonstop, nonstop, nonstop. That's a tough thing to go through, and I hope that that doesn't happen to any of y'all. I hope y'all haven't had to experience that. And if you have experienced it, I hope that you were born into another life of peace, comfort, understanding, and hopefully being born into a life where you really feel like you can go on from here and be all right. Peace to my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow. Be back tomorrow, 7 o'clock. So make sure y'all come through. Make sure that y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. We only need 11 more. 11 more till we get to 1,000. It's going to be a little milestone for me. I might throw a party. Anyway, love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all back to life. So I holler back. Blog Talk. You holler back. You. Watch me. You.